Now, this morning, we get to wrap up our series we've been going through, Chosen, and we are blessed to have Pastor Pat Cannon back with us this morning from that neighborhood church, and we have a great partnership, a partnership that we want to see continue to expand with them, but most of all, we are blessed to have him sharing with us this morning from God's Word and to hear an update of the work that God is doing. And so, to begin, there's a video for you to watch.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's crazy to think about. In October, we're going to be starting our 9th year down in North Toledo. And yeah, it's crazy. But I want to give you a few more updates. First of all, on the youth center. And we are about two-thirds of the way there. I think we can go to that next slide up there. There we are. That's how it looks now. What it used to look like was really bad. But let me give you kind of an idea on what that is going to be for. The bottom floor is going to be where students can come after school. They can have dinner. They can work on their homework. That's where Bible studies are going to be taking place. And then the second floor is going to be entrepreneurial centers. And so that's where they're going to learn how to do things like we're going to have an audio video recording studio. We're going to have a place where they're going to learn how to imprint clothing. We're going to have some 3D printers up there, so they're going to be able to utilize that technology. We're going to have some other computers up there so they can learn graphic design. The whole reason for that is for them to connect with the fact that they've been made on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. And so that's another environment that we're creating for students in North Toledo. And then the other one is the Plank Factory. The Plank Factory is an employment life skill environment. And I'm going to actually start, we can start passing these down around that. They'll get around to you eventually. Hopefully I'll get them both back. There's still one missing from the last service, so just saying. But anyway, so you can take a look at that. We're going to be teaching our neighbors how to work. We're going to be repurposing wooden pallets to make these clocks. And so we're about two-thirds of the way there. We're raising the rest of the funds so that we can get the rest of it done. But our goal, I hate setting these dates, but our goal is that by the time before Christmas gets there, we'll be open and making some products. So, and it's really about creating a pathway for people in North Toledo for them to experience a different kind of life. And so we're getting closer to that. You can look on our Facebook page, and because I'm having some updated videos on what's going on with that. So You're just finishing. It's 2 weeks, right? It was for 2 weeks, right? Your mission's emphasis was 2 weeks, all right? And so you've heard from missionaries, different parts of the world, and you've connected in different ways with that. And so Rob asked me if I would finish off this time with you guys. And I thought about what is it that I would really want to talk to you about as you finish this whole thing about hearing about other people and how they're being salt and light. I thought about what would be a good way to end this for you. So I thought about one of the number one things that just fills an average Christ follower, the number one thing that fills them with fear, and that is sharing your faith. And so, I think the reason why we are so fearful to do that is because I think we have a wrong understanding of what it means to share our faith. And so today we are going to unpack what does that really mean for you to be salt and light? What does it really mean for you to share your faith with another human being? Now, all of you brought some stuff in here this morning, and I get that. You're all at different spots, different places. But I want you to make an agreement with me for the next 35 minutes, maybe a little longer since this is the last service. Just kidding. But I want you to make an agreement with me that all of that stuff that you brought in here, would you just leave it at the foot of the cross? Just for the next 30 to 40 minutes, okay? If you want to pick it up when you leave, that's fine. It'll still be there. But allow God to do some work on the inside of you this morning. Allow him to challenge you. Allow him to comfort you. Allow him to inspire you to be what God has called you to be. And we're going to see what his spirit does this morning. So let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for my family here. All of us have had different journeys that has brought us to this point today, this morning. And I pray for us, Holy Spirit, would you take your word this morning? Would you dig deep on the inside of us this morning? Would you give us hope? Would you challenge us this morning? But most of all, Jesus, by the time we leave this place, would you, after you feed our souls to overflowing, would we leave this place filled with hope and inspired to be Jesus with skin on to those that we interact with every single day? In the authority of your name, we pray. Amen. So, all right, so down at TNC, I always have one thing. Here's the one thing that I want you to get this morning. Above anything else that you get that I talk about, here's the one thing, and it's this. Everything in life, everything in my life starts with a seed. And every seed has the potential to blossom. Everything in my life started with a seed, and every seed has the potential to blossom. So I thought about, you know, the reasons why we are so afraid to share our faith. So I came up with seven. Maybe there's more, but here's seven of what I came up with. The first one is fear. The number one is fear. He might not listen to me. What if doing this costs me my friendship? She might ask me questions that I don't know the answer to. They might reject what I say. So the first one is fear. Number two, I don't know enough about the Bible. Look, I'm kind of new at this thing. I'm just kind of like learning the ropes. I don't really know a lot of this stuff, and I don't really know the Bible that well. Number three, it's not politically correct to share Jesus. It's not politically correct. The next one, I don't know how to. I just plain don't know how to. I've never been through any classes. I just kind of come to church. I don't really know how to share my faith. The next one, I'm just too lazy. Because see, it's actually going to cost me, it's going to take some of my time. I'm going to actually have to do something, and no. The next one, I don't have any evangelism training. You know, I'm not really a professional. And the last one, I don't want to push my beliefs on others. I don't really want to push my beliefs on others, you know, because it's kind of a private thing, you know. But maybe there's another reason that overshadows all of those. Because see, as Christ followers, we love to compartmentalize our life, don't we? I go to church, and so I stick that in this compartment. I go to Bible study, so I stick that in this compartment. I have a quiet time, so I'm going to stick that in this compartment. I share my faith, so I'm going to stick that in this compartment. And after a while, we start to qualify our relationship with God based on how well we perform each category. And if we don't do so well in certain categories, we feel guilt and shame. Oh, by the way, did you know that your guilt and shame that was crucified with Christ on the cross? Did you know that? And then we tend to pass that on to others. So here's the thing. Across America today, in churches all across America, there's going to be a lot of churches are going to have the same message. God is good. You are bad. Try harder. God is good. You are bad. Try harder. And I think this whole idea of sharing our faith, we've replaced sharing God's love with sharing information. I've gone through a lot of different classes on sharing your faith. I've gone through Evangelism Explosion. I've gone through how to share faith without an argument. I've gone through how to share the four spiritual laws. I've gone through how to share the Romans Road. I mean, one thing after another. Now look, those are a good thing. They'll teach you some good techniques on how to share Jesus, okay? Some really good techniques, but let me just ask you a couple questions, okay? How many of you have had some of that kind of training? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you have actually ever shared your faith? Okay? How many of you have actually shown love to another person? Raise your hand. Whoa! Whoa. You're qualified. You're qualified. You see, here's what's happened, I think. And I don't know how this happens. But I feel like that once we become a Christ follower, we're no longer a human being. How many of you have ever been disappointed? Raise your hand. How many of you have had fear in your life? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever been depressed? Raise your hand. I can go on and on and on and on. And do you know what the reality is? Those that don't know Jesus, they would be raising their hands too. Every single one of them. So this is what I have come to know in my own life. And it's this, if I know Jesus as my Savior, if I know Jesus as my Savior, I have everything I need to share God's love with another human being. Amen. If I have put my faith in Jesus, I have every single thing I need to share God's love with another human being. So we're going to go to a passage of scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's at the point where he's kind of helping them to understand what it really means to share our faith with another human being. In fact, they had gotten it all mixed up, and they started to elevate one person's teaching over another person's teaching, and then they started to qualify it, and then all of a sudden it was like, they were like, I'm following Paul, I'm following Apollos, I'm following Jesus. And Paul was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's get a perspective here. You need to understand what's really going on. So we're going to start in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to what this says. After all, who is Apollos? And who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe that the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Okay, stop right there. There's a word in this verse, and it's the word through. In the King James, it's the word by. It's a Greek word, dia. Okay, everybody say that with me, all right? Ready? Dia, dia. Dia is a word for channel. In our culture, we would say it's a conduit. Okay, now I've been doing hundreds of hours worth of renovations. Okay, so I'm very well aware of what a conduit is. Okay, but let's just think about how we benefit from conduits all through our lives. Okay, so electricity, that runs through a conduit called wire. How many of you have plumbing at home? Okay, good job. We experience plumbing through a conduit called PVC pipe, right? A car receives gas through a conduit called a gas line. Our cells and tissues receive blood through conduits called veins and arteries. Are you starting to get the picture? Plants receive nutrients through a conduit called roots. Okay, my son and I just went to the new Avengers movie, which is awesome. But we received refreshment through a conduit called a
straw.
Thank you, a straw. That's right, a straw. So So Paul is telling the Corinthian church, he's telling us this morning, okay, that the reason why you came to Jesus, the reason why you ultimately came to Jesus is because God used someone as a dia, a conduit of his love and mercy and grace. That's why you're here this morning. And I can almost guarantee you that it started as a little seed. That dia, that conduit of God's love and mercy started as a little seed. And I think it wasn't only the fact that Paul and Apollos told them about the good news of Jesus, but they combined it with genuine love. Because the reality is when somebody experiences genuine love, the good news becomes real. And now it's no longer just words. It's actually real. So there was a guy named Brian. I'm going to tell you about Brian. Brian was a guy, when we first started TNC, he would hang around outside. Brian had a bandana around his head. He was a tall, lanky guy, you know. And so he would hang out outside. Now, when we would do our block parties, Brian was out there totally intoxicated. And when we would do music, he would stand in front of the band or whatever, and he would just stand there like this the whole time. He loved music so much. So, you know, Randy and I started talking about, you know, Brian. We were like, man, I think we need to plant a couple seeds here. So we walked up to Brian and we just started a conversation with him. Started talking to him, you know, started to find out what kind of music he liked and stuff like that. And so time goes on a little bit and we started working on things at TNC, like the grounds and fences or whatever. And Brian would he'd like start to come around. And he'd always call us cowboy, right? So he would come up and he'd see us working there and he'd go, hey, cowboy, do you mind if I helped you with some of this? And Randy and I were like, sure, absolutely. So he came in and helped us do some things. We were planting some seeds. So time went on a little bit longer, and we had this hot meal on Wednesday nights. And so one day, Brian shows up for a hot meal. And I start talking with Brian, and he comes up to me and goes, hey, brother, did you know that my parents used to go to this church right here? And he would stand in front of the big, if you've ever been down there, we had these huge stained glass windows, and he would just stand there and stare at Jesus on there, you know. And so Brian, he started to come to the hot meal, and we have a Bible study after that. So after a while, he came to the hot meal. He showed up for Bible study, mostly sober. And so we decided to plant another seed. And so we decided to come along, Brian, and put our arms around him and kind of guide him. But Brian had this demon called alcohol, and so Brian was kind of like this, you know. And so time goes on, and all of a sudden on a Saturday night, Brian shows up for service. And I wish you could have seen Brian. You know, Brian is this guy, you know, I don't know what it is with us as Christians. I mean, some of us, like some of us culture, we just like, we think our hands are only go up like this high. And there's like a weight or something here or whatever. You know, it's like, okay, but Brian, I wish you could have seen Brian worship. Oh my gosh, he would put his hands out like this. He had these big, long hands. It would like from one wall to the next, right? You know, you never knew what to expect from Brian. But we kept planting these little seeds all the time inside of him. And so as time went on, you know, Brian continued to get closer. And he kept getting closer. Until there was a time when he had put his faith in Jesus and he asked if we would baptize him. That was a huge day for Brian. So we baptized Brian, and then, several weeks later, you know, he got pneumonia, ended up in the hospital, came back, and then ended up dying a week and a half after that. But see, what you need to understand is that we came along Brian as one human being to another human being that have all the same fears, all the same struggles, all everything, and we just continued to plant little seeds until all of a sudden it connected with Brian and he put his faith in Jesus. And so that's kind of this picture that Paul is starting to paint. It says that through Apollos and Paul, not only did they hear the good news, but they believed it. And I think it happened because they started by loving them. They started by loving them. Verse 6 says this, I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Okay, so now we got these two pictures here. The first picture is planting seeds. It's this Greek term. It's like you take a handful of seeds and you don't throw them. You take a handful of seeds and you blow on them. So it's like you have these seeds and you're going, and they're going everywhere. And so it's this picture of you doing these little tiny seeds that you're planting with these different encounters that you're having with people throughout the day. You're planting these seeds. When you're going to the grocery store, it's the same cashier that you see every single day. And so every time you see that cashier, you give her some words of encouragement. You say some things that are going to feed her soul. And as time goes on and you start to get to know her, probably now you'll probably get to know what her name is. And then at some point, as you've been planting these seeds, at some point when you're standing there in line and you're checking out, then you're like, you know what? We've had this conversation, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, you know what? Is there anything that I can pray for you today? Anything. What is it? You know, I've kind of made this commitment that no matter what restaurant that I'm in, it doesn't matter. At some point during the conversation with the waiter or waitress, I'm going to ask them, is there anything, if you wanted somebody to pray about anything in your life, what would it be? And I've never had anybody say, well, I don't want you to pray for me. I've had some pretty weird things that they've had me pray about. I'll tell you that. But it's planting those little seeds. And it's one human being interacting with another human being. So here's the thing that I've discovered in my life as far as these seeds go. It's this. Everything in my life started as a seed. Everything. Your birth started as a seed. Your marriage started as a seed. Your friendship started as a seed. A business starts as a seed. A church starts as a seed. Kelly Susan, my relationship with her started as a seed. I first met her in Lake Tahoe, California. I was on a summer project with Campus Crusade for Christ. I was the project cook. And as soon as I saw Kelly, I was like, whoa. So I started to plant some seeds. I would make her heart-shaped pancakes. Yeah. And we would have some conversations, you know, planting those seeds. And then we were going to have a trip to Half Dome. Okay, Half Dome is this 14-mile hike. You know, the last part of Half Dome is like you're the only thing that keeps you from dying are these 2x4s that are in there and a cable. And if you let go of those, you're dead because it goes like that, right? And so I was like, I kind of positioned myself. So I was walking with Kelly during the whole time, you know, planting these seeds. And so, and then when we were going up Half Dome, the last 400 feet, you know, at that time, what I didn't know is that she's a fainter, okay? And so, and she kept going, how far are we? Are we almost there? And I'm like, oh, we're almost there. Just a few more steps. That was a lie. But, you know, so I planted, you know, those seeds. And then after we were done with Lake Tahoe, then we kept contacting each other. I was a poor college student. I couldn't afford, you know, long-distance calls. So we sent cassette tapes back and forth. Does anybody remember what a cassette tape is? Yeah, you just aged yourself. Awesome. So, and it was only like 37 cents to send an hour-long cassette tape, right? So we planted those seeds. And then one day I thought, I'm going to plant a bigger seed. So I decided, I created and sewed myself and designed a full-size Muppet puppet costume. That was her reaction. Yeah. And then we would meet each other at some other conferences for Crusade throughout the year, planting seeds. And then Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, our last summer project we were on, I decided it's time to seal the deal. And that's where we got engaged. But see, it started with seeds, little seeds. Because here's the truth about seeds. Nothing happens until you plant them. You can carry around a whole pocket full of seeds all day long, but the reality is nothing's going to happen until you decide to plant them. And every single seed you plant is an act of faith. Every single seed you plant is an act of faith. Because you have no idea who else has been planting seeds in that individual. Your seed might be the one that actually causes all the other seeds to blossom. And then he talks about watering. Watering. Watering is this Greek term. I don't have any glasses. I did have another glass up here, but then it was all full of skanky stuff. I don't know what you did, Rob. But anyway, but it's like having a thing of cool water, and you fill up some cups, and you offer it to other people. It's like this cool, awesome ice water that you put in a glass, and you offer it to other people. And when they receive it and they drink from it, it actually fills them with life. And those of us who know Jesus, we need to have people that come alongside of us with pitchers of ice-cold water and fill it up and give it to us. Because see, our job is not to fix anybody. Please hear me. That is not your job. Your job is to plant seeds and to water and to love people. That's your job. God is the one that makes things grow. Verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Here's the most awesome part about this. When you decide that you're going to plant a seed, God notices. He notices. He notices that time when your neighbor, his car wouldn't start and it was freezing cold outside, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show him God's love, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to help him with his car. Do you know what? God notices. He notices when you decide that you're going to be inconvenienced in order to go and help somebody else who has no way to repay you. He notices. I love how the message puts this. Listen how the message puts this passage. Who do you think Paul is anyway? Or Apollos for that matter. Servants, both of us, servants who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust your lives to our mutual master. It is a journey. Very rarely have I been, when I have shared my faith, very rarely has somebody already gone and went, okay, I'm ready, let's go. You know what it's been? It's been a journey of me connecting with them, and then I connect with them again. And then I connect with them again. And I'm consistent. And so it's this journey that's taking place. And then it says, we each carried out our servant assignment. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plants, but God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Planting and watering are menial servants' jobs at minimum wages. What makes them worth doing is the God we are serving. You happen to be God's field in which we are working, or to put it another way, you are God's house. So you know what broke me of this? There it is. Okay, I'm almost 60, so I'm doing this a whole lot, forgetting where stuff is. I don't know if anybody else is. You know what broke me of this? There's a passage in Scripture that is in the book of Revelations. And it's based on a letter that Jesus is writing to one of the seven churches. In this letter, it's a letter to the church of Laodicea. And Laodicea really thought they had it going on. And they thought they had it all together. And so Jesus writes them a letter. And he says this. He says, "You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing." And then Jesus says, "And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I thought about how could I express this to you this morning. So let's say that I'm a homeless person. I'm a beggar on the street, and I know you, and I walk around the neighborhood, and you see me all the time. In fact, you know what my name is, and you see me. And so one day I'm kind of walking around the neighborhood, just kind of hanging out, and I'm noticing, and I notice, I notice something over here. You know, and it's a box, and I'm like, ooh. This says donuts. And I'm a little hungry, haven't eaten for a while. So I open it up. Ooh, baby. And I'm sitting here eating it. And I see my friends out there. And I'm like, this is good. I think I need to let other people have some of this. Have one of those. Yeah. You have to share this. Your wife's right there. So you're walking around and around all of your other beggar friends, and you're seeing them. So you just kind of randomly walk around, and you see where they're. I know you're really glad about getting that. I saw your eye there. You're looking. You're like, "Am I gonna have one?" There you go, buddy. Okay. So you're noticing them, right? And you're seeing where they're at. And there are some people like way in the back here. They're always hiding. You know, you don't know where they're at or whatever. And so you see them and you're like, "Oh, yeah, you have one of those." So you kind of spend the day. You're spending the day, you know, with your box of food. And you're seeing people that you see pretty much on a regular basis. And, okay, and you keep passing stuff out, and then you kind of almost get to the last one. I know you're waiting. I can see you waiting there for that, okay? And then you get to, like, the last one, right? And you're just kind of looking at all your friends, and you're like, who's somebody? They've been kind of sad. I don't know. Oh, I think they need something. Okay. Here, it's okay. Don't be sad. It's fine. Okay. So you go and pass these out. Family, we need to get this. We have got to get this. Do you know what sharing your faith is? It's like one beggar who found food, taking it to other beggars and showing them where to find it. Do you want to know what sharing your faith is? It's loving another human being and connecting them to the truth of who Jesus is. That's what sharing your faith means. And all of us, we're all at that point where we're a beggar. We found forgiveness. And the truth is, forgiven people find people. That's who we are. So what would it look like in your life to plant a seed this week? What would it look like? Who is it that you're around on a regular basis that is going to need a little seed planted on the inside of them? I want you to look in your worship guides. You have this card there, and it says, "Don't quit" on it. And I'm going to give you a very practical way to do this week. One way you could use that card is, some of you have had a lot of people in your life that have planted seeds on the inside of you. So you could use that card to send them an encouragement note and to tell them, don't quit sowing seeds. Because mine blossomed because of what you did. Here's the second way you can use that card. Somebody that doesn't even know Jesus, use this as an opportunity to encourage them and let them know, please don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your relationship with your parents. Don't quit wondering if you're going to get a job. Don't quit how nice you are when I come in here. Don't quit. I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you. Use that as an opportunity to plant a seed. So I'm going to have the worship team come on back up. This song that we're going to be singing, this wonderful name song, it's based upon the name of Jesus. And see, I think one of the things that we've done is we've kind of taken the name of Jesus and we have forgotten that what's in front of that is the word love. When you are getting ready to plant a seed in somebody's life, that word love needs to be first and foremost. And so what is that going to look like for you? This coming week. Let's stand, let's sing this together, and then I'll close this when we're done.